So hello everybody. Good morning, good afternoon. I'm out of any time zone now. My name is Nikolai Jesutis. You might know these two books, maybe the left one. And I'm one of the authors of this. And I am now an author of the second edition. And I wanted to talk with you about it. And this talk will be about templates, but at the same time, it will be heavily about C++ 17, because in the new edition, all C++ 17 features of templates are integrated. So let's start. We have several slides. Let me first tell you a little bit about the history of this book. It all started in 2000, where an expert, EX is missing there, and the victim, that's me, came together, or were brought together by Edison Wesley, because we both planned to write a book on templates. David van der Voort as an expert, and me as somebody who has really trouble to understand the whole issue and needs good books to learn it and use it. So as a result, in 2002, end of 2002, we published this book, and it's pretty old. And of course, after a couple of years, we thought about doing something more. It started in 2007 that we were wondering, shouldn't we write a new book? And I looked at one of the first emails we exchanged with each other and the publisher, and David wrote an interesting sentence there. He said, regarding a second edition, it's definitely something I'd like to see. One schedule constraint is that the new standard is still in flux. A new feature called concepts is a cool print. We still don't have it, but we have a second edition now. But what happened then, 2 years we waited, then we started, and then we got fed up and tired and out of resources. So what happens if you're out of resources? You add new manpower. So that's Doug Greger, who contributed a lot from Apple and via Boost. And so we started to write a lot, and then we all got stuck. And nothing happened until, I would say, last year, I got out of a four-year contract. So I had time to bring the stuff forward, and I decided it's time to do so. And here we have it with C++ 17. That was actually the schedule or the plan to have it out here. Okay, so what's inside? We have 300 more pages, 80 more pages on type traits. And we have a kind of major responsibility for three different parts. I'm responsible for readability for the ordinary programmer. So I wrote the tutorial mainly. David is the expert implementing that all stuff as a reference. Doug is also the expert, but it turned out he's out already from C++ a bit, and he was surprised about some new features we have in C++ 17, but he contributed a lot of, especially in the application chapter. You will see examples from everything, and you will see why this is awesome or why this is frightening. It will be both. So let's start. What changed over time, and how has programming with templates evolved over time? Let's start with type traits. Type traits was the first application, major application of Sphinné. So the idea that if a template is not valid, is not valid code, it's ignored. And we use that to say, well, whatever we check with is so and so, we have two member templates, test and test, and the one has lower priority, the lower one, according to overload resolution, because the argument are ellipses, and the upper has higher priority, but the moment it gets invalid, it's ignored. So that was a whole trick, and the goal we had was find something that exactly fits what we are looking for, what we want to check in a trade. It turned out when we started about that, we used enums for the resulting values. In the first edition, we used yes and no. But now in the second edition, we switched to something new, of course, following the conventions of C++11, so that we, oh no, sorry. First of all, I have to say something different. One problem here is that character and long, we check for the return type, the size of the return type, and character and long on some machines have the same size. And that's true, they have. On that machines, even a long, is size of long is one. Because by definition, size of long is always the size of character, and character, if character and long have the same size, long has a size of one. And so we needed a better way to distinguish these two cases, so we came up, that was already in the first edition, with having one character and two characters. They couldn't, by definition, not have the same size. There were various ways to do that. Okay, so the whole trick is to use this framework to define a trait, to formulate what you want to check so that it exactly fails when it's not the case. So here it is. We check for is default constructible. It's not easy to find exactly the right thing, so you might call the default constructor. It turned out that calling new with the default constructor is even better. And because this creates something, this creates a sign, we needed a helper taking as a template, taking the size as an argument. So these two lines in the middle are the outcome, and then it works, fine. Next step we did was, well, enums are not very type safe. So using yes and no as an enum is a problem because in fact we are returning bools here. So let's use static const x for bool. And we did that, of course. Okay, the next thing we did was, well, in C++11, we introduced some better words for instead of one and two, we have two type and false type. So we can use them, they are different types. So we no longer have to check for the size of the return value. We just have different types. It's predefined by the library, so let's use it. So our resulting value depends on the type of which test is used, and as a test member functions or member function templates return different types, this is the way we check it. The next evolution was that it was always a trouble in Sphinx to some extent to have the check in a function signature. So because Sphinx, we need it in the declaration. So either in the arguments or in the template arguments or in the return value or wherever. So in the meantime, the technique involved and was possible that we can instead use an optional additional template argument. So we could add a type name here just for the purpose of doing the right check and disabling the feature if we don't want it. And so here we check for the question whether the decal type of using the default constructor is good enough. And surprisingly, suddenly, the new was no longer possible here, and we could still check fine things according to language rules. So let's use this. The usage is similar to the standard rights you probably all know. So instead of we use our conventions, so we have is and at the end a capital T, and we print true and false at the end. So you can full specialize your function, your class declarations on that, and that's fine. A couple of things are not possible. First of all, there's no partial specialization for function templates. And we still don't have it with C++17. So that means we need another way to dispatch between different implementations of a function. To have different implementations of a function, we need, unless we have if construct expert, we need different argument types. But so that means we need the types. But there was another interesting problem. And the other interesting problem is if you print out the value, so your const expert static bool, to std out, everything is fine. But the moment you use references, you can get into trouble, which surprisingly rarely happens in practice, so that not many people know that. And so if you, for example, declare a template taking a reference and you pass the value of this type trait, it might not compile. And for example, not with Clang. And if you pass it as a bool reference, it might not even compile with GCC provided you use -02. With -03, it compiles. And if you pass it as a, use it as a bool star, it only compiles with Visual Studio. So what's the problem here? The problem is that if you declare a static const expert if, this is a declaration. This is not a definition by language rules before C++ 17. So that means whenever you use it and you need ODR, so the one definition rule, which is not the case if you pass it by value, but in all other cases, it might, or not all, I'm not a core expert. So in several other cases, and the interesting thing is when you need the address of the object, for example, so you pass a reference or a pointer, things might fail, as I just told you. So according to the standard, this is correct. Without definition, you might get a linker error if this is not optimized away. So you need in exactly one translation unit a corresponding definition of this value in your type trait. I hope you all do that. Well, maybe not, because obviously most things work without. But the things are better with C++ 17, because in C++ 17, we have introduced inline members. And that means, and implicitly declaring a const expert static member is an inline member. So we, since C++ 17, the thing above is a definition. So that's fine now, portable, even if you pass a reference, even if you pass a pointer. And is this backward compatible? Yes, because if you have a definition outside, this is now considered a redundant declaration, which is deprecated. So everything still compiles. One reason a couple of people don't run into this problem is you can solve both problems. One problem was that for functions, I need different types returned by the trait. And this problem, you can do a different approach. And the different approach is, instead of defining a value in your type trait, static const expert bool, you define a type. Here is it called capitalized type in the standard. We call it lowercase type. So what this makes the last line of the trait even more, even smaller, because we just initialize our resulting type as a decal type of the test function that was instantiated. And then we derive from this type, because it's either true or false type, then true or false do the rest. And your member type is declared, et cetera, and all the ways you can use standardized traits are available now for your trait. And this is currently, I would say, the state of the art you're using to define standard, to define traits. Let's try them out. We can now compile even with this technology before C++ 17. We can compile all these cases where we pass references or pointers. And we can do, we can implement different functions against this trait by tag dispatching. That means if we have a function we want to call foo, inside foo we call this trait. And according to this, we call a helper function, which is specialized for one or both cases. That's the way we do it. Okay, are there other ways to do it? Yes. One way is standardized with C++ 17, which is a remarkable simple type trait, utility called void t. From different perspectives, different proposal came out with the same idea, and the idea was void t takes an arbitrary number of types and voids them. Which at first looks very strange, but what is the application? You see it here. You have your default implementation just saying, well, I'm by default not default constructible, and then I have a specialization. And inside the specialization, as a second argument, I pass a void t of whatever I want to pass and whatever I want to check as long as it provides a type. So for example, decal type of the default constructor, that's the check we need. As this is a variadic template, you can pass multiple arguments here to void t, and that's turned out to be very helpful, although there are some flaws with SWINIF friendliness, et cetera. So sometimes you can use it, sometimes not, or you need additional effort. Is that all? No. There are these young guys coming from school and think they can do everything better. And one of them is Louis de Jong, who is the author of Boost HANA, and you might probably know him. He has another cool idea. He says, there's far too much boilerplate in this code. Let's make it different. Let's use a definition called isValid, and I only want to have one line to define what my trait is checking for, and for that, I use a lambda. So you say here, always with the same syntax, I get something, and in the return type declaration, I make the corresponding check. Here using a little helper that you can define or that is defined by Boost HANA. And that's it. You have defined is default constructible. In principle, we could provide is valid and value t in the standard library in the next version, and that would be a one-liner to define your trait. Well, in this case, you define a trait object, not a trait type. Usually it's the other way around. So what you might still need, is then to say, well, and the type of this trait function object is my trait type, and everything works. You're curious how it is implemented? It took me a while to find it out or to at least roughly understand it. I'm not able to explain it, but here's a code. It's a nested application of generic templates. So the technology only works since C++ 14. And you see that you have one template where you pass the function, and then another template where you pass the arguments, and you more or less, the function f is your lambda you want to check against the arguments, and the rest is the code, how it works, and perfect forwarding, et cetera, with all these strange language rules. By the way, one thing I was very, very confused about was that in the outer lambda, I have f, which I don't have to capture into the inner lambda, although I use it. because not the object is used. This is used as in an unevaluated context. So this is used in decotype, and there this is okay. You don't have to capture to evaluate something in a lambda with decotype. You all knew that, huh? Okay. How do we deal with that? Well, we have a type system. We have all our types here in the standard library. Howard Hinnart has provided this really nice picture of our type categories we have invented. And for each and every name here, we have corresponding traits like is null pointer, is scalar, is object, is member pointer. So you get a rough idea how our type system is organized. I thought this incredibly helpful, this picture, to understand at least part of the traits. For a couple of other traits, I had some problems. There were some surprises. Here's an easy one. So if you remove constness, it doesn't work from a const in reference. Because a reference is const, you are not allowed to modify it, but it's not const from a conceptual point of view. Where it refers to, that's const. So remove const has no effect. So to convert a const in reference, you have to remove the reference first and then the constness. If you change the order, things are wrong or don't work as expected. That's one reason we probably will have in C++ 20 and hopefully we'll have a trait called remove CR or something like that. Then we have traits where we have undefined behavior. So this is also surprising, I think, because often if there is no valid behavior, we got back the type we did put in. But this is not the case in all traits. Some have undefined behavior, and if you're lucky, your code doesn't compile. If you're not lucky, it works on your platform, and you go to another platform, and suddenly it doesn't compile, or even worse. Here's an example, make unsigned does not work for references. It has requirements. There was for C++ 17 a proposal to say we should never have undefined behavior and traits. Instead, we should have a compile time error. It turned out that our traits were so fuzzily defined regarding undefined behavior that this was a step we didn't want to go, and hopefully we will clean it up until C++ 20, because there's no reason that this is not a compile time error if it's undefined behavior. This is surprising, I think. Is an int copy assignable? Yes. Can I assign an int to an int? No. And the reason is, it's assignable evaluates a value category, and int is a PR value, so that the answer here means I can't assign 42 to 42. If you know the answer, you understand it. But there's a reason we have 40 pages in the book explaining all the standard type traits. And this is the last one. According to the reference collapsing rules, we implement here the corresponding rules. Okay, I skipped this. Let's do a different topic. Strings and auto and fold expressions. What happens if we want to use a string in a template? A string literal? Well, it has constraints. First constraint is we are not allowed to use classes. So stdString is not possible. Second, if we use pointers, there is some evolution over the past years. So when we wrote the first edition, so C++ 03, required that the object you pass has external linkage. So you had outside of your function to declare with extern a corresponding character array. And you could pass that to a template. In C++ 11, we relaxed the rules, so now you need internal linkage. So you could skip the extern. But in C++ 17, even something better happened. No, it's not gone away. You still need one more line. But the line can be directly before you use it. So you can have no linkage at all, but you still need an external, a separate object here. So an L variant. So, and that's the way you can do it now in C++ 17, but that means that we have local visibility of the string we pass to a template. Another feature we have, we can now declare the template argument, the non-type template argument, to be auto. And that means that the type of the non-type parameter is deduced, depending on how you declare it. So if you declare S to be instantiated for 42, the type of N is deduced to be int. If it's a character, it's a character. And by the way, this is not a trick to suddenly allow double or so. It's still not compiled. And by the way, I didn't try it out with the class template argument deduction yet. That's on my list. I should do that. Okay, we skip that. So here's an application of this. Let's print all the arguments I pass to a variadic template. This is more or less code we can write in C++ 11, but since C++ 11, we would need a recursive call of print, or print all args. Here now we have what we call fold expressions, and fold expressions mean that the different arguments you pass are unfolded so that we apply the corresponding operator, it's a left shift or the output operator, to all the arguments we have. So that means if we pass 7.5, hello, and str, we print them sequence with the left shift operator out to stdout. And the syntax is in parentheses and with ellipsis in the middle, using the operators. Yes, they have to be both the same. You can't say on the left shift on the right plus. But the whole fold expression ends with the closing parenthesis after args. The problem here is, if we do that, we can't have a space here. And those who saw the talk about C++ 70 by Bryce, I think he was asked, can we easily put here something in so that we have something between these arguments? And the answer was, no, you can't easily. But we have templates. So let's define a little helper class, an space adder. So which takes whatever we pass by a reference and provides the output operator, and each time the output operator is called, well, it prints it out followed by a space. Okay? So, of course, the obvious question is, well, could I add other space? And the other question is there a space behind the last argument? And yes, and yes. So, by the way, we can skip the template type between add space and args because we have now class template argument deduction in C++ 17, but we need it back because we can do better to say, let's be able to parameterize our space or whatever we put behind the arguments. And that's, for example, possible by two things. The first thing is we add an additional argument to the template for the suffix we want to add. We could, of course, pass an additional parameter which we store in the private member and then use with every output. But this time it becomes compile time code. We don't have any overhead. But the problem is, of course, it has to be valid what we pass there as an argument. And if we want to have a suffix which adds comma space, we would use the trick I just introduced, a string object, a character array with no linkage, so right defined before, and passes as a second argument. Of course, the immediate question is there now, even worse, comma space after the last argument? Yes, there is, so let's fix that, because in print all args, we can split out the first argument. We can have special treating for this first argument. So for the first argument we print, and for all the others, we print first the separator and then the next argument. The other way is not possible because a parameter pack cannot be in front of the end. So you have to do it that way around. And the interesting thing is now, because we use auto here, we can do both. We can pass a character, or we can pass a string. So here I use a character, but the same way I could define a string member, a local string member, as I've done it before. Oops, where is my code? Here. So here I can say, okay, here I define my separator as a separate object, and then I print it. So this template, with the ability of taking auto, is parameterized for both, dealing with characters and dealing with string literals. That's good. And there will be applications for that. To give you one nightmare here, the feature is called placeholder types for templates. And auto is not the only placeholder type. We have another placeholder type called decotype auto. Who's using decotype auto in his code or her code? Okay, a few. Beware. Because one of the side effects of decotype is that depending on how you use it, it might become a reference, which is good if you need it, which is bad if not. So here you see an example. If s is instantiated for an integer x, you instantiate the trait for n having the value 42 and having the type integer. Okay? Now, if you pass an object like int, here we have y, and you put parentheses around it, the rules of decotype auto apply. And the rules say are the same as a decotype feature, which are not known to everybody, which means decotype gives you the type if you pass an entity, but it gives you type and value category if you pass an expression. So what did you do here? You passed y in parentheses. And y in parentheses means you pass an expression. So that means decotype auto deduces to be a plain type for PR values, for L values, a type reference, an L value reference, and for X values, an R value reference. So what do we have here? Y, what is it? An L value, because it has a name, and roughly speaking, has a name. And because we have here a name, so the type deduced here is integer reference. So we instantiate the template as follows: N is an integer reference which refers to the value of y. So n is a reference to y, which is a cool feature if you need it. You could do the same with another template, and if you modify y, you print out, you call the print function of s, and by the way, As far as I know, it can be even a const member function. I should try that out. Yeah, because the reference is const. Yeah. So I should add a const here after print, but print will print something different here. Yeah, because it doesn't modify the object itself. Let's see who needs it. Another topic. Should we pass by value, by reference, or what? That was a discussion we had in the author team again and again. So the first thing before you recommend something is find the facts. So let's see whether you all know the facts. Here's print. Here's a print simply taking a template argument. So there, the question mark should be replaced by something using T, capital T. And then here, we simply use it without any further constraint. So we call type ID, which is available for every type. So let's implement this to take the argument by value. If we pass an int, that's a very cheap call. It will probably be inline, so perfectly handled. If we pass a string, it's an expensive call because we copy the string. We could pass a string reference, although the template declares it to take it by value by using the stdref or stdcref hack, which sometimes works, sometimes not, depending on what you need in the template. If in the template I want to print out x, I have a problem because we have no output operator for with stdref or stdcref type. And we can pass a literal. Note, because we declare the template to take it by value, the type of hello decays to const character star. And we can pass a string view. I always have to say something about string view now, because in almost each and every talk here at this conference about C++ 17, all were praying the new feature of string view. String view is a nightmare, and you will in a moment see why. And we can't see a vector of strings, which is pass a vector of strings, which is pretty expensive. So let's do it by reference, and everything becomes cheap. The passing an int gets slightly more expensive because it's not necessarily longer be inlined. It depends on whether the code is visible, what happens inside the code, etc. Okay. There's something wrong with the order. No, oh no, there's nothing wrong. Here, yeah, I should say something. Here, remember one nice change here. If we take the argument by reference, print hello is instantiated no longer for const character star. It's instantiated for the type of hello, because if you pass template arguments by reference, they don't decay. So the type T is not const character star anymore, it's const character 6, an array of 6 constant characters. So there's an interesting story about that. This can bite you a lot if you deal with strings. A theme for your test suites, use strings of different length, because they have different types. If in a template you use references, and suddenly your test suite might fail, please do that. So we had that problem, by the way, in C++ 98. We declared makePair to take a const reference. And the problem was, if we called makePair for hiNico, the pair was a pair of two different types. And we got crazy error messages when we pass this to a map or try to compare them or so. So this was one of the few relevant fixes in the API of things in C++03. We decided to take it back and to pass these things by value. So by reference is not always better to solve this problem, which just makes it more expensive. In C++ 11, we had universal references. So references came back, and the problem came back because references don't decay, and that also applies to universal or forwarding references. So, but we have type traits now, so we simply have to declare this as that the return type is a pair of the decayed type of the first argument and the decayed type of the second argument, which, by the way, looks simpler because we no longer need type name there and colon colon type in C++ 14. And this is my favorite function if I want to say, is there evolution in C++ in the standard? Yes, there is. So what did we change in C++ 17? Well, kind of nothing, but kind of a lot. You no longer need make pair because we have now a deduction guide. A deduction guide says you still don't have to provide the argument types if you create a pair. You can write pair P and I pass hi and Nico. And the good thing is, because the deduction type K takes the arguments by value, type deduction, class template argument deduction, deduces the types to be const character star, which is independent from the constructor. The constructor can still take the arguments by reference. So this is a very nice feature, and it's a hidden valuability here of this feature that we save a lot of makers, and we can separate deduction from how we pass things in a constructor. We have another function here which returns something. So let's return something. It returns plus the elements added to itself, which is if we pass an int, whether we pass it by value or by reference, we should definitely return it by value, because otherwise we return a reference to a local object, which hopefully doesn't compile. So the next case I had before was string view. So if I use string view, and string view does not have a definition of operator plus, so let's define one. Of course, as we create a new object, we can't return a string view, we have to return a string, but that's fine. So let's use it here. What happens? The answer is a nightmare. You have a fatal runtime error because string view is worse than a string reference. A string reference will extend the lifetime of the return value. And what we return here is kind of string reference. String view is semantically a string reference, but conceptually a value type. That means that we return in double the temporary string. We can implicitly use each and every string as a string view. And directly after the statement, the return strings gets destructed. And our string view we return here, when it is used, uses freed memory. We will see this problem. We will, I promise you. So, again, caveat. String view is worse than an STD string reference. Don't use it if you could use a string reference. Don't never use a string view to initialize a string. Or in more general, as Jason Turner yesterday said, if you have a chain of calls, there should never, never be a string at the end of the calls when in the inside, in between, there's a string view. One special thing is don't use a string view to initialize a string member. Never return a string view. Never initialize a return value as string view. But sometimes you can't avoid that. You saw that. We had a template defined returning its type by value, and that caused the problem. So looking back in our function here, look, the problem is the return value is assigned to an auto, so we don't see that this is a string view. And the reason it is a string view is because we deduce that its return type in double is the same as the passed argument type, independent from whether it's a value or whether it's passed by reference. That will be nightmares. So how to fix that? Don't never, because of string view, never return in your function, declare your return type to have the same type as an argument type. Use auto. Auto would mean that our template deduces the return type of plus, which is an std string, and everything would be fine. And there's another interesting consequence here. Too bad that Herb is not in the room. This means almost always auto is broken due to string view. Because you can't be sure that people do to return auto. They might return T. To see the danger, you should not declare the return type to be auto, because auto can become a string view. Yeah? We are all fucked up with string view. Sorry, that's on video, huh? No, I didn't say that. Beep. Okay. So what is the right thing? Declare double to return auto. Okay? That's safer. So, but what if we have references, universal reference? If we want to forward something, then of course we should use universal references. It's interesting that most of the time we think about forwarding arguments, but not necessarily about forwarding return values. So, what happens if we have a return value, we want to forward it back perfectly to the caller. That's fine. It's valid even for void. So the thing below works. By the way, std invoke is a new helper function here that even allows to forward calls that pass member functions and the corresponding objects and an arbitrary number of elements. But auto loses move semantics here. So what should we use instead? Well, you might think forwarding reference or universal reference in one direction, so let's use a universal reference in the other direction. Unfortunately, this is a nightmare. Don't take auto ref also, although it's a universal or forwarding references, because you refer to something that might no longer be there. If invoke yields you a temporary object, lifetime expansion is not passed through a return statement. So that means you refer to something that no longer exists. So what is the right answer? Use decaltype auto. That's one reason we have decaltype auto since C++ 14. That's the right way to do it. Yes, that's your blueprint for a function you want to wrap, a function call you want to wrap, a generic function call you want to wrap. Well, wait a minute. if we want to use the return value before we return it, finally, so between invoke and returning or ending call, how do we do that? Well, again, locally declare your object as decal type auto, not as auto ref ref. You have the same problem, again, as I just explained you, only indirectly. So, but there's another problem here. Decal type auto is not allowed to be void. So, what do we have to do? We have to separate between two cases. Does the function we call return something or does it not? Which often is logically anyway a thing you might do, but not necessarily always. So what you have to program is this. If constexpr, so that at compile time, we decide which thing to compile here, we check what the resulting type of an invoke is here. We have a new type trait for that since C++17, which is called invoke result T. And we check whether the result type is void. If so, we call invoke and we return nothing. If not, we call we use the decal type trick to return it. That's your blueprint for the generic function, perfectly forwarding the arguments, perfectly returning the arguments, and still being able to deal with both the passed arguments and the returned value. It's surprisingly that nobody, almost nobody knew that. I even asked my co-authors and a couple of people in the standard committee, and they said, They said, usually the answer was, well, you can use RAII so that the destructor of your local type does what you want to do after the call. That's the way we think in C++. I mean, I'm an old guy. I want to program straightforward sometimes. There's another problem. Some people prefer to put parentheses around return values. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that because this is decal type auto. You remember? Decal type auto behaves different. If you pass something that is not an object but an expression and you have made it an expression, so red is an L value. So because it's an L value, the return type will be the type with one ampersand, so an L value reference. Which means if the function you call returns a temporary, you will again return a reference to a local temporary, which is also a nightmare. So a lot of flaws are here involved. No parentheses around return statements. Put that in your style guides, please. Do that. Okay, and I should something regarding if constexpr here, just to make sure you know what's happening. If constexpr does not mean that the so-called discarded statement, the statement that is not used, the elf or the then path, is not checked. It's checked against everything that is not dependent on a template parameter. So if you have an undeclared call there, even if this is not compiled or translated into assembler code, it is checked whether it's possible to call undeclared. If not, it will fail. Only if it's depending on a template parameter, it will not fail. And the same is true for assertions. Even if the else part is not used, an assert false will fail, unless it depends on your template argument. Okay? I have to say here that this is not a problem for Visual Studio users yet, because they don't have this distinction between definition time and instantiation time. They defer everything at definition time, though the checks I just mentioned, to instantiation time. So they are about to change that. Since Visual Studio 2017, 15.3, which was, as far as I know, shipped in beginning of this month, You are able to turn this feature off or on, depending on how you like, with slash permissive minus, and then your program behaves differently. You should know that. Okay, final slides. Let's talk a little bit about variadic. Variadic is so cool. We had it before when we printed all arguments. So here's my example at the end to show you that there's a reason I still don't understand all the pages in my book. This is a base class. The base class uses, it's just using a type, T. We can define a derived class deriving from several base classes, and we can now have using declarations deriving all the constructors or deriving all the assignment operators. So that means if you have something like this, a multi of in std string and void star, you get a hierarchy like the one on the top right. Okay, I skip details because there is something worse or better. And that is, you can nest variadic templates. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I read that chapter in my book. You can declare class variant to derive from a variant storage, which is variadic, so you have a couple of types, and so you're deriving from all these types. It computes the storage, and the reason we might do that might be CRTP, if you have heard about that. But now look at the next line. No, that means if we have a variant in double string, it produces that you derive from a variant of these three types. Now let's see the second inheritance, or the second specification of a base class. Here we have twice variadic templates. We have nested pack expansions. Because we want to have that we have for each type a base class, and in that base class we have all the types known. So we have twice dot dot dot, look at that, and that means that this expands to having three more base classes, and in each base class we have again, we as the first argument place our own type, and then all the types. So because that we use in the implementation to find out which is the index of our type in this base class or in this type. Scary? I don't know. Cool. And then you can use using declarations. You can say, I want to, when I destroy, call all destroy functions of all my base classes using fold expressions, etc. I like C++, and I hate it. So let me summarize. These were probably my biggest findings, concerns, or those I can tell you, and I understood them. Maybe the last one, a little bit only. What we see is C++ is tricky. You can do everything, but you can make every mistake. And by the way, thanks to all contributors. That's not for the mistakes. That's thanks for all the things that we got. Templates are tricky. We wrote the book. You might see almost each and every example of this there. And you saw a lot of things in C++ 17. And the good thing is I currently also finish a first draft of a book about C++ 17, covering all the features, not only the template features, this will be available as an agile project. That means it will be available with the first 130 pages pretty soon in the next 4 or 5 weeks, and you can buy it for a very low price, and then get all the updates for free. And the more content is in, the more expensive the book will become. So if you are interested, because I do it for a living now, register at the website or look at the website. And By the way, I'm still looking for reviewers, but please don't register all. I might then say I have enough. And finally, let me thank compiler support. Let me thank all those guys who made this happen. All examples I showed you already compile in at least one compiler. Thank you very much, all the guys, for that. That's it. Thank you very much. I'm here available the whole week. I'm still available to talk about some how to teach C++. You see how bad it is. And some book signing. There will come new books there. I told them to prepare for 100 books. They didn't trust me. Okay. Now tomorrow there will be more. And that's it. Thank you very much. And I'm here available for questions. Thank you very much.